Welcome to Tremendous Talk. We got the industry tea and the jokes. Actors, directors, musicians, and more. You're listening to Tremendous Talk.
Disclaimer: this podcast episode was recorded before the SAG-AFTRA strike.
Hey everyone, I'm Law.
And I'm Ash, and this is a Tremendous Talk podcast.
Each week, join us as we guide you through the realms of Hollywood and beyond while we speak to industry professionals in the spotlight.
So, grab a boba tea and leave your shoes at the door. Welcome to Tremendous Talk!
Yeah! Hello, everyone. Good morning, afternoon, good night, whatever you're listening to this. My name is Law. I'm a Filipino Indian actor, host, and filmmaker who's feeling kind of low energy, but we're going to pull through. I think we have a great guest today, and that's kind of like the summary of my vibe right now.
And hello, everyone. My name is Ash. I'm a mixed Filipino-American actor, musician, and publicist who is currently wearing Old Navy Christmas pajamas.
Whoa!
That's my Old vibe Navy for Christmas today. Pajamas.
Are they comfy? Are they lightweight?
They are, yeah. I run ridiculously cold. Oh, this is a good question for you. Do you run hot or cold? I run
hot
very
as hell.
Cold.
I'm always hot. You're I'm like, always like, yeah.
So wait, okay, so your internal temperature is warm, but when you go to places, are you like notoriously cold, or like you just emit heat and you're also like, how does that work for you?
You know what? I'm actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I like feel the weather in like the most extreme ways, in the sense that like when it's hot outside, I'm like constantly sweating, and when it's cold, I'm like almost shivering, and nowadays I need like hand warmers and like layers, right? I'm also anemic and don't have a lot of iron, so it's like I'm sure that factors in. But yeah, no, I was just answering based on like at night I'll like just like be sweating, like I'll just be running so hot and the AC will be on, but then sometimes I'll be really really cold. So I don't know, that's a good question. I'm gonna have to like ponder that for the rest of my existence. What about you? You run cold?
That whole conversation, I was thinking of the scene at the end of Mean Girls where she's in the rain and she's like, I think there's a chance it's raining.
Yeah. It's basically like, I think I'm cold right now. It's like, yeah, it's cold.
I'm very cold all the time. Like, it'll be, what, 75 degrees, and I'll be like, it's cold in here, guys. What's wrong? And so, but I am a furnace, apparently.
Oh,
and my husband's like, you emit heat. Why? Ooh. Why is this happening? Are you okay? So that's where these pants come into play, because I am so cold. But when I wear sweatpants, I obviously, my body's emitting more heat. Anyway, welcome to the weather podcast, everyone. Nice to have you here.
Tomorrow we'll be talking about our body temperature. No big deal. I'm running a cool 99.2 right now. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I feel like that's more hot.
That's actually hotter than the regular human temperature.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's like mild fever, actually. My bad.
Okay, besides the mild fever you may or may not be having, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been like, if I'm talking in obsessions right now, I just finished season 2 of The Bear. Holy crap, is that show good. Man, it's so good. And it makes me so anxious. And I was telling Ash before we started recording, I'm kind of going through like an existential crisis right now. And that show certainly did not help with all the feelings I was feeling. But it is so good. That's art right there. That makes you feel, you know what I mean?
Oof. Oh,
I love it.
Oh.
But that's kind of like, besides that, I've just been doing a lot of head down working stuff. So like not too much outside of like YouTube comfort stuff or like comfort shows like we've been talking about. But definitely The Bear was like something I was like, I have to actually get through that. And I binged it. It was really good. How about you?
Oh, man. I want to watch The Bear so bad, but I don't think my mind is in a place where I can receive that information at this time. Like, I think I need to stick to my comfort shows. I've literally just been watching that TV show Ghost that I told you I'm obsessed with. And I've been watching every single, like, Ryan and Shane Watcher type series of like ghost hunting files. That's all I've been watching, dude. Just ghost hunting videos. Everything's with ghosts right now. But I don't think I have the capacity to intake like a very anxiety driven show like The Bear. Sure. I tried literally, oh my gosh, I tried the other day, and then the first scene that happens, I was like, nope.
Yeah, sometimes when he's having a panic attack on the show, I'm like, I think I'm having a panic attack with you, buddy.
It's dude.
Very good. Yeah, but it's a tough watch. It was like Beef, you know? Not everyone around me has finished Beef on Netflix because they think it's too stressful. And I'm like, yeah, it is stressful. Why do I like high stress content? I don't know. Maybe I'm a masochist, but I totally get that feeling of like, I can't watch certain shows or movies because it just don't make you feel good. Right. And yeah. So yeah, but it is like from an acting standpoint, because, you know, in an acting class in the Barcada, Robert Partino, he picked a scene for me and him to do from The Bear. And so it's just like, I don't know. It's very wealthy some good lines and dialogue. I'll say that.
Shout out to WGA and the writers on that TV show.
Thank you, everyone.
They are amazing. Amazing. Oh, dude. Did you watch Uncut Gems?
No. That's one of the ones that I've avoided a little bit, too.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Yeah,
I watched it when I was going through like a very, very hard, hard, hard time in my life. Mm-hmm. And I had a 100% full on panic attack in the theater. So that was a very cinematic experience for me.
Oh, man. Yeah, not my favorite. Not my favorite.
No. We're here for comfort, cozy hangs.
Yeah, let's talk about good stuff. What have you?
Good stuff.
Anything good in your life? Are you eating anything, reading anything? Anything. That's better than anxiety.
I am eating, reading, doing some things. Not too much, though. I mean, so this weekend, we just came out of a long weekend. So we're currently taping this on July 5th. It'll come out in the next coming weeks. But we just had a long weekend, right? And there was some work that I had to do over the weekend, so I wasn't able to completely unplug. But I tried to just, like, enjoy my days off instead of being glued to the computer and catching up on emails. I was like, no one's going to answer you back. Just go away and like do other stuff, please. So I sat in the pool the other day and I just swam. Like I just swam. I'm not the best swimmer, but I like to swim.
Yeah.
And I just swam and like let my body be felt by the rays of the sun and stuff. And I didn't realize how rejuvenating that was actually going to be. And I think just the swimming moment helped perk me up quite a bit. And we did some like organization stuff. I cleaned the house. It's just, I think it was like a little bit of a self-care weekend for me. What about you?
That's good. My parents came into town because my birthday is coming up. So they wanted to just have like a couple meals and celebrate. So that was nice. But I also have been working a lot. Like I worked all through the 4th. And after my parents left, I worked after that too. So it's just like, it's just been a heavy workload. But yeah, my birthday's coming up. That's exciting. I got to go to a concert recently. My friend had an extra ticket to actually it's a smaller K-pop group called Tribe, TRIBE. But it was really sweet and it was good energy. I just like being in that community because it's nice to be surrounded by people who all love the same kind of thing. Everyone was so nice. Like someone gave me like a selfie like pass, so I got to take a picture with a member, which was really sweet. So that was cool. But other than that, man, I'm just trying to like nurse myself through this like weird mental headspace and get back on track. But July is looking very bleak. So I'm like in a really stressful headspace and I'm like trying to just sort it out. So hopefully I get some inspiration from today's conversation. I'll say that.
Aww, I hope it does. Usually like for the listener's context, Law and I are so busy, dude. Like we are so busy. And sometimes we get on here and we get ready to record and we're like, I'm tired. I don't know. But by the end of the conversations, we're like, I'm ready to attack. I'm powerful.
Which is exactly what I need right now. Because after we get off this, I have a mighty, mighty edit to
do.
Oh
my gosh. Okay, I have to ask, what is one thing from this past year of your life that you've enjoyed about being the current age that you are, and one thing that you're looking forward to about the next stage, your next chapter of being the next age you're going to be?
I think I don't know if it's much of an age thing as much as it is like an like for me, like I'm really grateful for all the experiences I've had and how I've learned to manage my emotions mostly, just because I have a lot of them. And when I feel really big. And so I think that's been really nice to like get more mature with age, like, yeah, certainly with age, but just like having those experiences. But coming up, I don't know. I'm looking forward to crawling out of these little holes, you know, like this feeling that I'm having right now, learning how to manage that, or maybe even preventing it in the future, like finding something that makes me, I don't know. I'm just like, I think I have the drive and motivation right now. So whatever this next year brings, I hope it's good, because I feel like the grind has been happening for a long time. So, wishful thinking, but hopefully some rewards. Yeah. Hmm. I hope that answers your question.
No, that makes me happy. That was great to hear. Aw.
It's crazy to think that, like, by this age, back in the day, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have, like, 3 kids by that point. And it's just, like, I remember getting to, because I wanted to get, like, married at, like, 25. And it's just, I remember, like, being 25 and being like, what the hell was I thinking, you know? And then when I hit 30, I was just like, oh, boy, you are not ready for families. But, like, it's just crazy to see, like, all these people I know, they're having babies and having families, and I'm just like, I am just not, that is just like not on the agenda right now, you know? So, well, who knows what the next years will bring, but it's exciting, but I am tired too at the same time. Grateful and tired.
Hashtag but, grateful and tired. That's so, that's a thing too.
That's the other podcast.
Grateful and tired. And grateful the other and podcast tired. We have is Sad Club.
Sad Club, and then we have tremendous therapy talks. We have so many spin-off shows, but it's good to have a home base.
Exactly. I love that you've been going to so many K-pop shows, though. That makes me happy. It's so funny. Like, I'm a dirty little, like, metal concert kid, so I have this image of, like, people crowd surfing, and everyone's all sweaty, and people are, like, punching each other and stuff, and then you're like, yeah, I got a selfie pass, and it was great.
Like, oh, waving my thing around, yeah. It's funny, because I was in a band, and so that's what I was used to too, is like local shows.
Yeah, you're an emo kid too.
Dirty, sweaty, like little mosh pits. Like, I almost died at a Taking Back Sunday concert once.
I almost got
trampled to death. Like someone pushed me over in the middle because there were multiple mosh pits happening, and I almost got stomped to death. It was
no one did the golden rule. No one picked you up, dude.
Yeah, my friend picked me up.
Oh, thank gosh.
That's the, like I started feeling it on my legs, but then he like picked me up, and then we started like elbowing our way out of the pit, because I twisted my ankle really bad. Like, I couldn't walk on it. And then now I'm like in my 30s going to like twice shows and just being like, ah, they're so cute. Feels like I aged different, like I reversed age from like the teeny bopper thing. Now I'm doing it now that I'm an adult.
You Benjamin Buttoned in terms of music.
Yeah, kind of feels that way. But I'm having a good time, and I think that's what matters. And I love kind of live performance, and like K-pop performers are like really well trained. Like, yeah, I even asked Sabrina Wu on the Joyride premiere carpet. I was just like asking about dancing and choreography. And they were just saying like, oh yeah, it's not really K-pop because they're like the most efficient and talented people on earth. And I was just like, yeah, fair enough. Anyway, I'm rambling now.
I think we're both rambling.
Yeah, it's a rambling. We never catch up. That's why. Hold on.
Avoid talking to each other on purpose in between episodes.
So enough rambling for me. I think it's time to introduce our guest for today.
Yes, I'm so excited to have him on. Let's do it.
Aloha. Isa.
Yeah, so now we are recording. So anything you say will be held against you in a court of law.
Like, no. Not literally.
Like now?
Get it? Because the court of law edits the videos, and it's a court of law.
In the court of law.
In the court of law.
In the court of law. That's that guy
I cut you off because I wanted to share my own. We met in person, Vinny. Oh, do you go with Vincent or Vinny? What do you prefer?
Oh, yeah.
Vinny? Yeah, Vinny's cool.
That's okay. Vinny. For the podcast.
It's for life. Call me guys, call me Vinny.
All right.
They all call me that. They just do. Okay. New York started it. And then LA. And then now.
Catching up.
And now you'll be our cousin Vinny.
I'm your cousin Vinny, huh?
It was the Unforgettable Gala. I was wearing a sherwani because I'm half Indian, and you said, yeah, hey man, I like your outfit. And I was like, hey man, I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And then now we're getting to do a podcast together. I think that's pretty great.
Hey,
I love it.
B. Okay.
C. Okay, let's do this intro, and then let's just like lightning this. This is amazing. Okay,
let's get in. Yeah,
this week on the This week on the podcast, we are delighted to be speaking with the one, the only, Vincent Rodriguez III. Da-da-da-da-da! We would, one, quit our jobs and move across the country for him as Josh Chan in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Two, we would buy every single bottle of wine in his shop as Henry with love.
What?
And we would definitely, literally take all the fitness tips from him as well. He is one of our tremendous friends. Welcome to the Tremendous Dog Podcast, Vincent Rodriguez III.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
There we go. That's the energy. That's what we're bringing today.
Or pew, 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 pew.
Also effective. Also effective. Well, thank you for joining us. We're very excited to have you, and you've been a bundle of joy already, even before the recording. So we're ready for this. How are you doing today?
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm good. I'm doing a lot better than I was this morning. This is not natural, folks. This is like cultivated joy. This is I wake up like smiling and like, yay! No, that was when I was in my 20s. No, I am older now. Daddy is on the antidepressants. Daddy is also into mental health and mental fitness, and also into doing things like this, where we get to like talk about the Filipino experience and entertainment. And I feel very blessed to be here. And so,
So
like my joy also comes from that. So thanks for having
me. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Wait, let's get right into it. Like,
yeah,
on the days where you can't find joy, what do you do to bring it into you? Like, how do you cultivate that joy?
Oh, how do I cultivate joy? I can answer this question, actually. I have answers to all these things because I've been asking them for almost 3 or 4 years now.
That's good practice.
It's like lots of practice. One of the basics, old school from like freaking theater school is journaling. Journaling is a great way to check in with yourself, and it creates a relationship with you. That's kind of like on page, and you can tell by your handwriting if you were nervous or if you were driving or like in a plane. I looked at my journal entry from last time. I'm like, why is my hand shaking? I'm like, I know I have messy writing and I know I drink lots of coffee in the morning, but oh, location, seat 7G. Got it. I was on a plane. Got it. Cause it asks like, where are you? So yeah, I use a journal. And I also, I have mantras and affirmations I use when I wake up. Like no joke. Mel Robbins is one of my favorite self-help, using science to help yourself. And she's helped a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of non-business really, minded folks just get closer to what they want and who they want to be. And I believe in that. I believe in what's possible. I believe in creating yourself and choosing how you want to make a difference in the world. And so part of that is for me realizing that I want to be a source of energy and joy and representation, obviously, because, we need it. And I guess when I was younger, I didn't see these things as gifts or as things that would be watched by history. Hamilton didn't come out yet. So I wasn't thinking history has its eyes on you. I wasn't thinking that quite yet. But now that I am, it's like, people are watching, but also, it doesn't matter. I need to just be myself. And who is that? And how do I define who I am outside of what I happen to do for a living? I love what I do for a living, but that does not define me. So like finding that place where you can just feel good about who you are and what you're putting out into the world. And for what we do as artists and performers, you know, that can be obviously monetized. And instead of it just being about like, I want to be healthy for myself, it's actually imperative, because, you know, I'm no good to anyone I collaborate with if I don't know how to take care of myself. And I've been learning that the hard way the last few years with the pandemic and all the stuff going on in the world, and more recently the writer's strike, because you know, it affects your colleagues, it affects your morale, and it's tough. I had a really bad morning. I really did. I'm not gonna lie, I had a bad morning. I was very gloomy, and I sent a Marco Polo to a friend. I sent him one of me being gloomy, and then I took a dance class and I sent him another one and said, okay, so here's me saying I'm better. We all knew a dance class was gonna help change my energy. I knew it would help, but here's the proof. Like, you know, nothing lasts forever. You know, you can always just dial it back a notch, change your trajectory a little bit, recalculate, and then proceed. And now I'm going to do my best impersonation of a pilot. A-9-5-6, and we landed. Copy. No. Because it felt like I was going into
No, it was great.
What, Vinny?
Do you want to end the podcast? Really, that was amazing. Oh, my gosh.
We got representation. We got mental health. We got identity. I think we're good, buddy.
We didn't get singing, so we have to like, okay, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm so alive. Yeah, there. Okay, I sang a little.
Now we're done.
Now I sang it. And it's from a show, musical about mental health. So yes, that really.
Oh, wow.
We all had boba before this interview, right? I had boba. You had boba? I had a black tea.
We say that we should have boba on our intro, and I should start making that a thing, because I do need the
cash. And just like...
We need to get a sponsorship from a boba shop.
Did we Uber Eats Vinny some boba? Maybe we sent it. What's your address, Vin?
Okay. Yeah, we did actually do that.
Cheers. That exactly. That does say my name. Don't be alarmed. Oh, it was a gift. It was a gift from the star of this show, Emerald, who plays Lily. She got us Yeti bottles and containers. Aww. And I use that thing every day. It's just water, 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 water. I have another like 68-ounce thing, but I don't carry around that in the house. So
you could. It's your house.
Oh, God. Like, this is much lighter, La. This is much lighter, La, huh?
I have my hydro jug, and I just refill all day long from this, like, giant thing that I keep on my desk. I'd love to ask you about the With Love cast, though. Like, you guys are so... The cast is so tight. The representation is, like, awe-inspiringly beautiful. And every single time I see any of you interact with each other, it's like watching a family or something. It is the cutest thing. Can you talk about the camaraderie on set and kind of putting together every scene with these people who you... like?
Question mark. Do you like them, Vinny? Inquiring minds want to know. Yes, we do like each other. We have a great time. Gloria Calderon Kellett, our creator, showrunner, head writer, she plays Tia Gladys, and she's our mama bear. She's our leader. She's our showrunner, so she's in charge. She's a force of nature, and what I mean by that specifically, she's kind of like the sun. She's very bright, and she illuminates this energy. And that energy feeds us. And we're all brighter, lighter, more effervescent, less in our own way whenever we're around her. She gives us space to be the best version of us. And she leads us in terms of the story and of what we can contribute to our characters, which helps push the story. But aside from just the story, what you're also kind of getting at, Ashley, with your observation, is you're noticing the vibe we have when we're not our characters. That's very genuine. We became a family, which isn't too crazy of a concept if for anyone out there who's been on a TV show or anyone who's ever been in a play or a musical or dance in a group in college or high school, or when you were in a play as a kid, it's the same thing. You become a kind of a family, like your cast first, you know, you're brought together to create something, but then sometimes you just naturally find your buddies, your pals, you share a common enthusiasm over something, whether it's a play or if you're in band. I was in band, you know, I played multiple instruments and clarinet, drums, and I was the drummer in my jazz band. I played clarinet in symphonic band and wind ensemble. I was a drum major in marching band. I conducted, I did the baton, I tossed the baton. I had to like do salutes and go to drum major camp and all that stuff. And every time you put yourself with a group of people, you're creating a family. And who said this? Someone said this. Henry Cavill just said this on my TikTok. I was just looking through TikTok. He was quoting something, but essentially 80% of your job is dealing with people. 100% right. So one of the things I had to learn was where do I lack energy or enthusiasm or knowledge when it comes to dealing or communicating with people? And when I got curious about that, I learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about just how our brains work. Like, I'm staring at books about ADHD, Mark Manson's The Subtle Art of Not Giving Up, you know, Five Love Languages, Brené Brown, Braving the Wilderness, Joe Dispenza's Becoming Supernatural. You know, like, you know, these are all my curiosities. The Art of the Impossible by Stephen Kotler, Kotler. Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. What else? I have a deck of cards over here, like, because I'm a magician. So right. I think it's important when you're on your journey, whether it's a career journey or a personal journey, just kind of give yourself permission to be more curious, because that will actually take the place of this other thing that I've been doing a lot less of for the last 3 years, which is, I'm kind of being ominous about it, because it's something that kind of ruled my life as an actor for a long time in New York. And that's, you know, judgment, criticism, or in my case, perfectionism, trying to always be perfect and always be prepared and be exactly what they want you to be. And it's just like, you can't control that. You really cannot control that. 9 times out of 10, the casting director or the director who's seeing you, they want to meet someone new, and they want to see what your ideas are. And in an ideal world, you read the script, you have an idea about what the story is and how it needs to go in order for it to be told. And they just want to see your relationship to your work. Because if your relationship to your work is healthy and it's filled with ideas and you're free and you're like unleashed, you know, then it's like, yeah, come on board. We want to work with those kinds of artists. But if you're so stuck and you're nervous and you're trying to do it right, you could get a job. A lot of people get jobs that way, but then the work suffers. You don't get as much out of it. You're kind of all aiming to be perfect. And then when you collaborate on something, now you just hit walls, because everyone's trying to make their idea win. And unless you have a good leader to facilitate all those ideas, things kind of fall apart. So yeah, I'm circling back to Gloria. She's an amazing leader and she inspires us. And she just cast an amazing group of actors, but she also cast like a really fun group of people. And like, I'm seeing them, I think I'm going to a party. I'm going to like a party with all them in like 2 weeks or something. So yeah, we have a great rapport on set, and everyone who's been watching the show, thank you. For anyone watching, we'd love seasons 1 and 2. You can watch both, but season 2 is out. That's the newest one. So the people who've been watching that are like, oh my God, the cast and the energy and the vibes. And, you know, sometimes like people get a little emphatic about the characters. Like, I don't know about this character. That's a little much for me. And I used to take a kind of offense or go like, who do you think you are? You're not making stuff. What's your opinion matter? That's not really what it, but that kind of like, why are you poo-pooing the thing I made or the thing I collaborated with? But really all that means is it's a compliment. It means they were so into it that they actually have a visceral response to a character. To me, that's like the ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
Is that the story was so real for that individual that they're up, they're mad. They're like genuinely upset and they're taking it out on me. And I'm like, I didn't write it. I'm sorry. My name's not Henry. I'm Vinny. like, nice to meet you. You know, like, I don't know, I'm not that character. I'm someone else. But all that means is that people resonate with the show, and Gloria wrote it in such a way. She wanted it to be a love letter to diversity and what could be in the world. You know, so she made sure it was very diverse, and she wanted to see her Latino heritage celebrated in all the ways that it's not, you know? So we see a lot of breaks in stereotypes. We see affluent Latinos who are business owners, who are successful, who are abundant, who have big diverse families, and a lot of communication, a lot of representation, and, you know, especially with the LGBTQ representation, because Sol is played by Isis King, and they're a non-binary character, and Miles Murphy's daughter is also non-binary, so I play a bisexual character. Mark in the Bellicato plays a gay character, so we have a lot of diversity, and I think that's something that's very unique. I mean, I see diversity on screen, but not depicted in the light of joy that our show does. Mm. Like, that's kind of rare. That's pretty rare. And Gloria just has this way. Again, she just has a way of inspiring actors. Like, I've met people who've just worked with Gloria over the years, and I run into them at parties or events, and they just, the energy that comes out of them when they talk about Gloria is palpable. And it just makes me feel very fortunate to be working with her and to be working with this cast. I've been very blessed in that way, because Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, ensemble cast. With Love, seasons 1 and 2, ensemble cast. So I don't know what I'm looking at. But like,
being
to
blessed
the,
by the universe, yeah.
Being blessed by the universe, or G-O-D, or Jesus, or Buddha, depending on
the
who. Sorry, people are like lost. Like, did they just, who's that? What is that? And I'm like, we'll just make,
yeah, we got possessed by the ancestors for a second.
We got possessed by the Filipino ancestors, and whatever religious deity you choose to, you yes, have faith in. But, you know, we're like inclusive. We're inclusive here. But yeah, I live a life of gratitude, man. It's, I feel pretty lucky to be doing what I'm doing.
There was a lot in there, but I would say you radiate a really wonderful energy, actually. It reminded me of a quote when you were talking about Gloria from the Mean Girls musical. Gretchen Wieners has a line that says, if Regina was the sun, then I'm a disco ball. Because I'm just as bright as fun. Bright and fun. I love that, because it's like reflecting that energy in all directions once you're inspired by that person. So it does fit while you were talking. I just had an image of Gloria being the sun and you were a disco ball.
I'm a disco ball. Oh my gosh, you guys. All of you who've worked with Gloria Calderon Kellett, we are all disco balls.
There we go. We love
we're
it.
We're balls. We're balls together.
Oh, I love balls. Yes.
Yes, balls. I love balls. Yes, that you just cut it. It's okay. That's where we bleep it out. When we click the GIF.
This is the social media stuff that we need. This is what's going to tease people into the episode.
This is going to become a GIF. Yep. There's so many GIFs.
Oh, gosh.
GIFs?
So many.
GIFs.
GIFs. GIFs.
Yeah. Insert more Crazy Ex-Girlfriend quotes. I'm like, how many more quotes from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend can I fit in?
I just want to thank you already. Like, just in the, 19 minutes that we've been on this call together, you have inspired me in a way that I don't think I've been inspired in a very, very long time. Just with, like, the fervor that you have and the ambition and just the openness. And you're constantly, like, every single thing that you say is such this, like, gosh, this drop of wisdom. And I'm so grateful to sit back and just take it all in. But you're reminding me to just be myself. And that's what it comes down to at the end of the day, just releasing this judgment, being open to the universe, being yourself, being open to the gifts that other people give you, such as shining a light on your disco ball from their sun ball. Like, so many things. This is incredible. And I can only imagine the experience of growing up in the theater world and having all of this theatrical background and working in these ensembles. And now you get this gift of working in ensemble after ensemble of incredible freaking people. Like, that is gorgeous. I can't even explain how beautiful that is. So watching you just experience this and experience through your eyes, whether it be social media, whether it be through the actual TV show, it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I I've been really fortunate. I'm going to see if I can take this. I'm just going to grab something to show you real quick. So I'm going to disappear for minutes. Here, 1,000. Okay, I can't. So I'm gonna see. I'm gonna take you with me.
Oh, I don't know if this is gonna work. I see a guitar.
It's gonna. I don't. Let's wish me luck.
I wish you luck.
Good Wi-Fi. Luck. Is this working? Will this work? Oh. So you guys, this is.
Oh. Uh oh.
That's this a great place to freeze on.
Here lies love.
Oh wait, you're there back. There we
go. You're back.
Oh wait, that's awesome. What is that?
It's a collage of the cast of Here Lies Love.
Oh.
On my Broadway. Gosh.
And I don't know where my photo. There's my photo.
This is from your 2014 run, yeah?
Yeah, but it's on Broadway. Amazing. It's on Broadway now.
So I don't know.
The reason why I'm bringing that up is. Because, so Jeremiah's a producer on it. Joe Coy is a producer on it. Leia Salonga is a producer on it. She messaged me and was like, hey, are you coming to see our show? I said, I am. She was like, but I'm not in it yet. I said, I might be able to come back with my husband in July. She was like, I'll be in it then. Just come back. And I'm like, Leia Salonga just yelled at me on Instagram. That's a story. I'm sticking to it. So I'm going to New York because Leia Salonga yelled at me.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my story.
She forced your hand, Vinny.
She was my TV tita, so I kind of have to listen to her.
Yeah.
You do.
she's actually my dream TV mom or like film. If I ever get to cast my mom in anything, it's going to be Leia Salonga.
when they told me that they were talking to Leia and they were going to be like, we're asking Leia Salonga to play your aunt. I'm pretty sure. I clutched my pearls. I did a gasp, and I yelped. Aline knows the story better because she's the one that told me, and I had some ridiculous. Oh, I remember now. I fainted. It wasn't like a real faint. It was more like a theatricalized faint that I feel like I really earned because Leia Salonga was announced as being my aunt, and I'd get to work with her, and that'd be freaky. So, but yeah, I wanted to show that because I saw it on Broadway a week ago, and it was cool to be in the audience or on the floor. If you ever see Here Lies Love on Broadway, go to the floor seats. Don't sit in a seat. Stand. You want to stand in the pit where that's the original experience of Here Lies Love, one of the most extraordinary pieces of theater I've ever been a part of. And I've done some cool things. I was in Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame, right, which is also, I mean, I could do a whole hour just talking about that, but Here Lies Love was wild. I covered Jose Lana, kind of Rickamora from How to Get Away with Murder and all these other things because Conrad's blowing up, you know? I played the DJ for a month because Kelvin Moon Low was doing another Broadway show and he needed a break. So I was, you know, and I understudied all the other men. I learned all their dance tracks. And so talk about Filipino, well, AAPI, like it was a all AAPI company. And I got to be in an ensemble show. You know, the leads are the leads, but everyone was featured. Everyone needed each other in order for the show to work. And the principals were dancing in some ensemble numbers. Just put it that way. Which I thought was really cool. Very similar to one of my favorite current shows, Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies, which has been taken off. And I'm just but we're going to get it back. I literally have it on my to-do list, like dance choreography, learn new cool choreography, learn this song's choreography. Like I learned choreography for fun.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool. I love those videos.
Me too. Yeah.
You mean mine?
Yours.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I literally just watched your J-Hope Dynamite cover.
Oh, yeah. Like, Lollapalooza choreography?
You have like a ton of dance covers. I was going to ask you to do more K-pop ones.
I do. I actually want to. That's another goal I have. I have some other combinations that I haven't shared. From Just Jerk is another Korean dance crew that I've been idolizing for a few years now. I know like multiple eight counts of like two or three of their routines.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. I haven't posted some of them yet for some reason, coming out of my shell in terms of my posting, which sounds odd, but I don't like just posting anything.
You know what? Was a question of mine. You're active enough on social media. You're like interacting with fans. You know, yeah. I wrote down some comments that I saw on your Instagram that made me laugh. Like, sir, you've threatened my marriage tonight. That one made me laugh out loud. And there was another one that said, that commented on one of your dance videos that said, I love gay Josh. And people started talking about the multiverse of Josh Chan. And I was just like, this is like a fun space. Like, you're inviting your fans to kind of play along with you in your life. But like, yeah. Why do you post? Let's get into that. Like, what is social media to you in a bigger picture? Because obviously it has its detriments to mental health, but yours seems like a really positive space where you're actually sharing genuine.
Thanks for catching that, Law. Similar to how I answered the question 19, 20, 30, 40 minutes ago, I cultivate the space. So how do I say this? It matters to me what I post and why I post it. And I post things and engage in such a way that is a reflection of a space that I am in control of. So I engage with the people. I respond to their comments. I like their comments. I try to answer their questions. Even if I get inappropriate messages, which I actually got one today. And then the way I deal with them is I deal with them. Like I try not to ignore them, because what I have found is most of the lewd or inappropriate messages I get are from, like, private messages are from people who for some reason just have a different relationship to social media, and they forget that I'm an actual person and that I am the one reading it and dealing with it. So when I respond like a person, and I tell them what they did wrong. First, I say thank you, tell them what they did wrong and what I don't appreciate. And then I ask them to participate in an engagement that is more respectful. And now they have the opportunity to do that. Or they can say, you're full of shit. Or they can say, whatever. Or they can respond however they like. But I don't. But from that point on, like, I gave you the choice. So I don't have to engage with you. I just don't. And, you know, I don't wish them any ill will. I say, have a great day, you know, because I think we already know what it looks like and what it feels like to respond in a visceral, negative, and flippant way. We've seen that all the time. But I think what's important, especially from an educational standpoint as human beings, because I go to acting class, and like I said, I'm reading books and curious about the world and people, and part of that is also my acting training, because that's part of my job. I have to observe the world, and then I have to become those ideas, and then I have to like do it in front of cameras or people. I think it's important to model what positivity and kindness and compassion looks like and feels like. And so I take dance classes that have people who go to them who are neurodivergent. So people who... These aren't professional dancers who are trying to get jobs. These are like an array of different people with different kind of mindsets and learning abilities who are in one room, and it happens to be a dance class. And so I get to share space with them, and I get to be around this energy, and I get to be a part of lifting it up, and also a part of seeing these people who maybe in other instances would not want to be in a class because they don't want to be seen. They're too afraid to make a mistake, or that they won't be able to handle the rejection or making a fool of themselves. And, you know, I am both a student and a teacher. So I try to I do my best to actually embody the things that I teach and the habits that are conducive to making art, collaborating, and being one's best self in a healthy way, so that you can sustain yourself as a person without going through the drama or the turmoil of being, I don't know, like an overly critical actor, performer who thinks the only way to win is by being the best and by pushing other people out of the way or climbing over people to get what you want. That's not the best way to achieve that goal. And I know from personal experience, and we can go online right now and find other examples, but there are plenty of ways to achieve your goals without hurting other people, without hurting yourself, without damaging other people's feelings, without damaging your feelings, without damaging your values, without even poo-pooing other people's values. You can just be your own self, have your own artistic standard, have your values, and have your way of dealing with indifference, conflict, shame, self or otherwise. And you know, there's healthier paths. It might take you longer to get what you want, but I did the whole perfectionism thing for many years. I lived in New York for 11 years. My blood, sweat, and tears are in New York. And when I walk the streets of New York, I'm not going to lie, I feel a little bit like I own it. Because I put in my time. You know, I don't see it as privilege. I see it as I'm a part of this city. I'm a part of the magic that is New York. Even if it means I bump into you and I'm speeding and I'm late for a thing and I'm like, really? Come on. No, like that too, you know, but also like, you know, there's like someone with a carriage and they're perching the stairs and you see, you know, cumbersome. And then what I'm like, am I going to be late for something? No. Are there a bunch of people around and everyone doesn't give a shit? Yep. So like, all right, get in there. And I'm like, hey, can I help you? I'll grab this one. I'll grab the bottom part. Like, I'll walk with you. And they're usually, it's interesting, like kindness surprises people, especially in cities like New York. Even in LA, because, you know, there's only so much like this that happens in LA. People are like, nope. But that's very New York, but it's also like LA. But I don't know. I just, you know, I want to be the change that I want to see in the world. And I've been on a bit of my own personal journey trying to be a better version of myself and definitely allowing that to bleed into and flow into what I do in my career, which is being an actor in TV shows. As of a few weeks ago, my first feature film. You know, voiceover and stage, teaching, like those are, like fitness, those are kind of the areas that I find myself in on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for bringing us into your world. And I love that you actually mentioned that between the lessons that you learn as an individual and you bring it into your teaching as well. That's so incredible. But also, thank you so much for just giving us that insight, and just with their social media and with everything that you do on television and more, you kind of open the door to what it is to not only be like a human being, but also a human being who experiences human things like depression, like mental health, like XYZ, all these things. And I appreciate you letting us into your world and letting us resonate with you on all of that and kind of giving us not only guidance, but freedom to experience the journey in our own ways. So something that I also really not even resonated with you, but just like, gosh, seeing it is so wonderful. You involve your Filipino background in everything that you've, like the first episode of With Love, you're like, yeah, my Filipino family. And then in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, your whole Filipino family, like, oh, can you tell us about those experiences of bringing your culture into these stories? Are they organic within the dialogue when you receive the scripts? Do you like have conversations for them to get in there? That, how do you involve representation into what you do?
The way I involve representation into what I do is, well, if we start with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, I started off by not trying to pretend that I'm not Filipino. They wanted an Asian male. They weren't specific on what lineage, like what specific country or ethnic background. And it was Josh Chang. That was the character's name. And I auditioned, and I found out they auditioned every after the fact. I found out that they essentially auditioned like every Asian actor, singer in New York. And that meant almost everyone I was in Here Lies a Love with. And so that was a little daunting to me. Because I've definitely been troubled myself by worrying about how I compare to other actors, whether they're white or because they're the lead, or they're Filipino or Asian, or just in competition for the same role, you know? And so, so for that, like, I just didn't hide the fact that I was Filipino. I did something at my audition that I knew was ballsy, or that took a lot of guts, but I had auditioned enough where I knew it was the right thing to do. And I basically, they were asking me questions, and then I asked Alina a question. I said, why is Josh Chang? Like, why did you pick an Asian background for this character? And then she, like in every interview, she's like, well, I grew up, you know, seeing Asian bros, like really attractive, charismatic, charming Asian dudes, but I've never seen that depiction of them on TV. And so I thought that would be a great option for Rebecca in this story. And then my response was, well, that's interesting, because that's who I grew up with. I grew up as a Josh, around Josh's, like my clique of friends was there's one white guy. The rest were like Chinese, Filipino, you know, Japanese, Taiwanese, you know. So when I booked it, we had a meeting where they said, we want you to keep true to your Filipino background. I'm like, good, because I don't really want to play something else. Like, I told you what I was when, like, it would be great if you guys could just match my actual ethnic background, because then I'll be able to bring that to the character, which is exactly what happened. So they changed Chang to Chan, because Chan is a surname of the Philippines, apparently, as we did our research. And then Josh Chan was this Filipino SoCal bro. And then it turns out Rachel Bloom, who played Rebecca Bunch, one of her best friends was Tess Paras. So Rachel was already keeping Tess in mind as being playing my sister. And then, of course, when we met Josh's family, outside of just my people who play my parents, Amy Hill plays my mom. I think, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the guy who plays my dad. Don't hate me. But like when it came to Leia playing my aunt, I just freaked out, and I was just very honored and pleased. But my journey for how representation played into my character for With Love was a bit more organic, in the sense that the character of Henry Cruz was defined by Gloria as a bisexual Filipino dreamboat.
Oh, who? It's
and I went, well, it's about time. God.
That's funny.
No, but honestly, the actual vibe I did have, and I think I hope that your audience appreciates this, is I thought, well, it's about time. You know, I grew up loving rom-coms, so did Gloria, but I never saw anything but a hot white dude. That was just a hot white dude. Well, now I'm going to be that random hot Filipino guy. And so if you watch season one, I'm always in tight clothes.
Yes.
And I look very fit. That was on purpose. That was my character choice. And it wasn't until we were filming the second to last episode of season one, the fourth episode, it wasn't until we were filming that episode that I even hear from Gloria, hey, I just realized you don't have a shirtless scene this season or a sex scene. I'm changing that. And I went, cool. What are we doing? And then she went, I just wrote it. I'll show you later. Tee-hee-hee. And then she runs away. So in the final episode of season one, there's a sex, a naughty scene between Henry and Jorge, which I think, yes, is a sex scene, but it's done in such a way that it feels organic to the characters' lives. It doesn't feel lewd or gratuitous. It feels like this is how people who love each other playfully engage in sexual activities. Like, this is a healthy relationship. This is one way it could go, you know? And so it was really cool to work with Gloria on those kinds of things for these characters. But she was the one that wrote it in. But it is, to answer your question more generally, it is something that I do bring into the forefront, you know, when it's applicable. Like, I just, on the feature I just shot, the character has a Chinese name, and I said, I'll take the job, but I just want them to know I'm not Chinese, and I don't want to ruin what they wrote, but I also want to see if there's a way that we can honor my heritage so that I'm not playing a Chinese person when you could very easily make me Filipino and the story would still work even by when you don't change my name. So I know this sounds like a lot, but essentially what happened was they didn't change my name, but they did change where my character is from. And we just changed a line in the script. Like, I'm from the Philippines. That's it. Like, we just changed it. And what was cool is that I got to have a conversation with the executive producer about it. And this obviously also came from my reps, my manager and my agent. And, you know, we didn't make it this huge thing. Like, you must play. No, we said Vinny would really appreciate it if the character could be changed to Filipino. It doesn't seem to, we don't think it would ruin the plot of your script, but, you know, we would just love to honor his actual heritage, if that's okay, you know, if that's something you can work with us on. So we really came at it from a collaborative place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's how art gets made. And yes, this is show business, not show play, but we're also telling stories that have impact. Like, I also played, this character was also gay. And so, you know, when it comes to these topics, when it comes to authentic representation, you know, I do feel an obligation, a responsibility to do my personal best to pick stories that I can somehow use to create a positive impact, whether it's just the character within the story, but also as the actor who's a part of this cast and who is a part of this world that people are going to be embracing and welcoming into their homes. I don't take that lightly. You know, if you look at even the smaller parts I played, the last 2 years, I was on Keenan, and I played, one half of a gay couple, and the breakdown was like Asian shirtless, former military dude, jacked. And I was like, got it. So I created a character who was very fit and wore certain kind of shirts, and, you know, but then I played a fitness instructor in home economics, and I almost didn't audition for that, but they said they wanted an Asian actor, and they described the character of Simon, and I almost didn't do it. And then it was like the morning of, I went, wait a minute, this story takes place in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And that's when the light bulb went off. I went, there is a Simon in San Francisco right now, and he should be able to see himself on screen. And then that's when I got to, like, looked at the breakdown. I redesigned the break. I took the breakdown and I rewrote it. And so I added some of my ideas to it, which is something I learned from my acting school, which is great. But also every actor should do that. Add your own ideas, you know, mm-hmm. That's what collaboration is. So I added some ideas to it and I got it. And then when I got to set, I was like, oh, I'm doing the scene that I auditioned with where I'm a fitness instructor in the park. No choreographer. No choreographer. And I'm like, so we're rolling and I'm like starting to actually teach a class. as the character. By the time we got to my coverage, I already had the routine. I had the stretch. I already timed out when I would speak along with the, so I essentially choreographed myself based on my knowledge of fitness and of dance and being an actor. And so, and I got to actually make eye contact and give like names and identities to the background actors who at the time were being, I could tell they weren't as engaged with me because they felt like they're just in the background. And I used the fact that I'm a teacher and I made eye contact with them. I talked to them between takes. I introduced myself and, you know, I responded as the character to whatever they did so that they could just get the vibe that like, I'm in the scene with you. Like you're in the scene with me. Like we're doing this together. This isn't just me. And then you're just in the back, like you have your hand, you know, hiding. Like, no, like you're in it. We see you, we feel you, your energy and you matter. And so, I kind of took all my representation and all that knowledge of trying to show up for the character. And I definitely let it kind of overflow into the energy of being on a set where it is imperative that you know your job and that you bring your best, because everyone else there is an artist and they're also bringing their best. And it doesn't matter what department. It could be an AD, a PA, who's bringing you coffee, or the AD who, or the camera, the focus puller, who's just in charge of making sure you're in focus. Like they have a name and, you know, they're sitting there in their chair and I wave and smile and get to know them just like I do the director or the person who's, you know, working crafty, or the people who are putting my mark on the floor, or who are adjusting the light next to me. Like we're all working together. And I think that's a great way to kind of create a good energy for that it's conducive to making things.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love that you lead with authenticity. But I also love that you make it easy to be a decent human being around. You know what I mean? Like it's not hard to be a decent human being and to like connect with people on a set. And it is a team sport. Like I tell people all the time who don't get this business, it's like all of this stuff, this is a team sport. So 100%. Work together, be kind to each other, have empathy. Like if we've learned anything after the pandemic, it's how to be a little bit more empathetic, I think.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say it from a humble place. We already have empathy.
Mm.
So it'd be great if we just exercised empathy, because we all have it.
That's but nice.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I love that. I love what you're saying. I just wanted to change the wording a little bit because that's come up for me too, Law.
Mm-hmm.
Like people, and it's like, no, empathy is a part of being a human being.
True.
It's just, it's just there. Do you honor it or are you afraid of it? Because if you honor it, then you'll see the other person and you'll feel what they're feeling and you'll have compassion for them. But if you feel it and you're like, I don't really want to care about what you think or how you feel because I just need to care about how I feel, then it's like, uh-oh, you're both pretty. Like everyone, calm down. Like you're trying to do your thing. It's not helping them do their thing. I don't need to get mad. Like we're all doing our best. But you know, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's art is hard enough as it is, you know, and this is a part of it. Talking about it, listening and hearing these ideas. Like I can't tell you how many podcasts, TikTok accounts, Instagram accounts, YouTube videos I've listened to just because I need to hear working professionals talking about kindness on set or kindness to yourself or how you collaborate, how you create, how you start from, I'm not so good at this to like, I'm pretty darn good at this. Like, and the difference between being boastful and cocky versus just having certainty and confidence, you know?
Sure.
Like those are healthy definitions to define for yourself, especially if you're trying to level up without pushing other people down. It does feel a little like, wait, how do I do this? It's just like, there's a way. You just gotta stay the course, man, because it's worth it. It's worth it when you see, like, man, the people I've seen who light up on set or just have a really fun vibe. It's fun to think that, like, oh, I'm part of that. I got to be a part of that vibe. Same thing when people recognize me.
Yeah,
I see them coming. They're just like I'm walking by and like I don't see any energy, and all of a sudden I'll And all of a sudden, 0 to 100. And I'm like, whoa, what just happened to you? Someone lit a fire on your ass.
Disco ball.
You became a disco ball, huh?
Yeah. They saw the shining sun walking down the
shining,
street.
Shining. But that's because people like I get starstruck too. And when I see actors who were in things or in scenes or movies that changed my life, yeah, I'm going to have a very emotional response. So
yeah,
like I totally get it. Like I get it. And it's cool because I got to be in a show. I think it's up there. It's my crazy. It's crazy. Show poster. It's my little gift awesome. Poster I gave. Yeah. It says class of 2019.
I love it
because I didn't know how to do TV and film before them. So I affectionately called them like my TV film
high school.
Because I did 4 years.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
I graduated TV film school from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend class of 2019.
It's so funny because this whole podcast, exactly, right? This whole talk, I've kind of been thinking about how everything you're saying does feel like a masterclass in so many ways, of from the things that you're talking to us about being kind, but also all the freaking, like, you just laid down so many acting tips. I hope every upcoming actor listens to this specific episode because there's so many bits of knowledge just about being a good actor, but also carrying yourself on set and everything. So thank you for giving us a masterclass after you took your masterclass and sharing all that knowledge with us.
I know, there were some banger lines in there. Like, you should put "Don't poo-poo on me" on a shirt. Or like,
oh, yes.
Or like the thing you said about New York and being like, I feel like I own it. I was like, woo, that's fire. Like, we had some bangers in this episode. We're going to go through them and get our favorites.
Just little blips. From
thank
my
you
TikTok.
So much. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for giving me the space, you know, like that's, yes. I saw Josh Dela Cruz's bit of his video interview, and fun fact, I took over his track in Here Lies Love at the
it
public
was yours.
Theater.
Oh my gosh, it was yours. We talked about it in the episode.
So while he auditioned.
So he was in the original company of Here Lies Love at the public theater. So he was in the ensemble and he understudied Jose and Conrad. Then he didn't come back for the following year when they did it again, 2.0, Here Lies Love 2.0. So still Ruthie Ann Miles, Tony Award winner Ruthie Ann Miles as Imelda, Broadway's Conrad Rickham, Broadway's Jose Lana, and then television's Conrad Rickamora, TV and film now, because he was in the Fire Island movie. But you know, we had a lot of awesome people playing Shreya. I mean, it was up there, like, with talent. But Josh was in the original cast. And then what happened was when 2.0 came up, he was doing Aladdin on Broadway. So couldn't give up that gig, of course. Now he's like Blue's Clues and he's crushing it, you know? So it's like, yo! Ruthie Ann Miles and I were in a musical reading where she played a supporting role, principal role, that wasn't used very much, didn't sing, just like, really? This is years ago, guys. I'm talking about, like, so everyone, we're years ago, okay? This is before Here Lies Love, before Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, before Tony's, before King and I, okay? So I'm in the ensemble. I just got really loud. I'm in the ensemble. And I'm dancing with Katie Lee Hill, who later on I find out is a best friend of Rachel Bloom and was in her first two viral music videos. I know this is, I've never been able to tell the story till now because no one's been able to. Yeah, exactly. Law. Thank you. So I'm about to give it to you. So your head's going to explode. So I'm dancing with Katie Lee Hill and I'm like, you're so talented. Like, she's an amazing dancer, amazing singer, but she's an amazing actress. I knew I could tell I was working with an actress. We're dancing and we're in the background and we're doing all these scenes where we're playing different people, but she's an actress. And I'm like, whoa, you're like an actress. I can act with you and play different people with you. This is way more fun than just step, I'll change jazz hand here and sing, you know? So somewhere in the rehearsal process, Ruthie Ann Miles says, come here. I wanted to talk to you. I'm like, sure. What's up, Ruthie? I actually wrote a rap about this moment. So I'm going to try not to go into the rap. I'm just going to tell you the story. She says, hey, so I don't know if you know this, but like, I was in Here Lies Love. And I was like, oh yeah, you were Milda. And then she was like, yeah. So they're doing it again. I'm like, oh, cool. And I was like, she was like, you auditioned for this, right? I was like, I did for the first version, but I didn't make it past callbacks. She's like, well, they're doing it again. And, the role, there's a spot open, that Josh Delek, do you know Josh? And I was like, yeah, I know of Josh. She's like, well, Josh isn't coming back, but he covers for the two leads that play opposite me. I think you would be great for that track. And I went, now this is before she won a Tony. This is before I realized how much of a superstar she was. I felt a little embarrassed telling the story. And I just saw her in Sweeney Todd and she just like dumbfounded me with like, I was like, Ruthie, I've never seen a beggar woman. Like you're a beggar woman. Like you just won another Tony Award in my heart and soul. Love you, Ruthie. She inspired me a lot during Here Lies Love, but this is before that. So she said, you know, I think you'd be great. Basically, she was saying, I think you'd be great playing these roles when they're sick, and I want you to play opposite me. That's essentially what I was getting from this thing. So I went, well, I'll audition. And then she gave me some knowledge prior to my audition, and I did the Ferdinand Marcos material. I did the Ninoy Aquino material. I did the DJ material. I did the dance call, and they hired me. And I learned, and I learned all of those tracks within, you know, while I was there, rehearsing. So I was one of two people rehearsing the show. Billy Bustamante, who's now the assistant director for the Broadway company, he was in the ensemble track, and we were both learning to cover the same two roles. And so, so he still did that. And then I got to understudy those two roles and then be the DJ for a minute. And then fast forward to now I'm in auditions for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I'm doing Here Lies Love at the Public. Mark Webb, the executive producer who directed the first episode, is in the audience, cannot recognize me. I don't even know who he is yet. I just know the director of Spider-Man's here. So I'm singing to him because like, the DJ has this kumbaya moment, like as I left my house, as I walk, like you're just singing to the people. There's no performance. Everyone's like goosebumps, like I'm getting right now because my body remembers what it felt like. No microphones, no lights. Just we're talking about the history of the Philippines. I'm just singing you some words that were from the people who survived it. You know, it was this big moment. So now I'm auditioning for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Rachel Bloom, my friend Katie texts me and says, hey, I think you're auditioning for a role opposite my friend Rachel. I'm like, your friend is Rachel Bloom. And she was like, yeah, I was in her first two videos. I'm like, I knew that was you. Cause I was, so Katie is in her first two videos, Fuck Me, Ray Bradbury. And, another one I can't remember, but Katie choreographed them, and Katie's an amazing singer, an amazing dancer, amazing actress. So just talent oozing out of her, right? So during the auditions for Crazy Ex, she was texting with Rachel and Rachel was texting with her about me. And so I knew like Rachel was asking her questions about me. And then I was asking questions about Rachel to like Katie. So who's this person I'm reading opposite, you know? And yeah, it was just wild how it all kind of wove together because I mean, it was just really crazy, like how you just never know when your opportunity will arise. But one thing I have learned, and there's a term for this. I used to always just live my life this way, which was prepare for the job you want, not the job you have. You have that job. You can still get better at it, refine it, sure. But if you want more, or there's a specific job you want, or a certain kind of job you want, don't wait for the job. Be the person who's perfect for that job. Wow. And that's how I built my career. I didn't wait to get the job. I learned magic before I booked the national tour of Pippin and was magic consultant and was a featured magician. I was a magician before I booked Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame, the workshop in New York, and then pitched magic to the director, which then made it into the live action stage production, which was at La Jolla Playhouse, which I was doing at the same time, the film in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, the pilot. So I know that's a lot of information, but it just goes to, for anyone's watching who's like aspiring actor or, you know, what have you, like, you just never know what's going to happen. So one of the best things you can do is like have faith in what you do and really know that if you can really live your joy in what you do best, and just share that with people, that's going to help you way more than trying to be some idea of perfect that you think they want from you. Cause you can't predict that. You can't control that. You can control is you and what you bring and unleashing your ideas and being your best self. But what if they don't like it? So what? Mm. Next, there'll be other jobs, the other creatives. You know what? Maybe it's great they didn't hire you because they're not right for you. You, your art, your beingness maybe needs to work with this kind of show, with this kind of people, this kind of vibe, you know? Because that's essentially like what you said, Law, like you're all making things together. You got people need to know who they're working with, and you're going to be spending so much time together. So it actually makes sense that like when you audition for something, it's not just your talent. It's also like, who are you? Who mm-hmm. are you when you show up to the set or to rehearsal or to class? You know, practice being the best version of you there, because then all the other stuff kind of falls into place. And now I've officially ended my TED Talk.
I was like, have you thought about motivational speaking? Because I would pay to watch this shit for 2 hours.
I get into like a mode. And so it's like a trance.
Like a teacher mode?
Yeah, it's a good thing and a bad thing.
It's a culmination of all those books you're reading, of your life experiences. It flows out of you like water. And that's a good sign. It means it's authentic. It's genuine. I don't think you're bullshitting us.
No, you know definitely, I mean? So, I'm definitely not. I am teaching more now these days, so maybe it's a little bit of that, like trying to get the cobwebs out.
Listen, all of us are baby birds and we're ready to feed. You know what I mean? Like we can learn a thing or two from your person.
That's I don't know why birds can't. No.
I like that. Yeah, that's more accurate, Ash. That is actually exactly what they
You mean. Guys, the bird impressions on this podcast were on point.
That's what the people come for is
us being bird impressions. Damn.
Bird impressions were amazing, guys. Everything else, but the bird impressions.
We'll cut the rest. It's fine.
Well, I think it was an honor having you on. You know, you're so charismatic and talented, and there's so many aspects that you brought up. You know, like whether it's like your fitness or your the dancing or your singing or your acting career. It's all very inspirational and just letting, like having you on this, getting to use this little platform to throw your voice out to hopefully more people. It's a real honor for us to have you on today. So thank you for joining us.
Aww, yes. Thanks for having me. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching.
Yay.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All the things that you do with your magic, with your dancing, I'm just so grateful that you gave us this tiny portion of your time. So this is awesome. Thank you.
Aw, shucks. Thanks. Thanks for letting me ramble and talk passionately about the things that I feel very grateful.
What is life without passion, yes. My friend?
But no, but it's just like, I'm not trying to beat people. Like I want to stay in doing things. And so that's kind of where I'm at is like, I'm not trying to beat anyone or compete with anyone. I just want to stay in the game. And so that's why I try to be as picky as I can with projects I take or podcasts I participate in because, you know, like, cause
we're all just one. Ugh. I'm just kidding.
you had pipe stars.
You could have gone anywhere, huh? That's great. Honestly, the work that you're doing, it's going to make life easier for people like Ash and I. You know what I mean? The conversations you're having, introducing your culture in the ways that you can, being authentic to yourself, spreading that kindness, that's all stuff that we can learn from. And we're indebted to you and the work that you're doing, and hopefully we'll all meet at the top someday.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't have to be at the top. We can meet at the bottom. We can meet at the midway.
We'll meet in the middle car of the train. And then
especially if they're serving some Jollibee or if they got some Pandesal, sandwiches, little slider, pandesal sliders with tocino, like, or a little, like, longaniza situation.
Oh, gosh.
Spam action. Oh, no. I'm all about
it. Don't take me back to the vegan tocino conversation, because I'll take over this whole podcast, guys.
Part two. We'll do part two.
We'll do a part two. You heard it here first, fam. Vinny's coming back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Vinny. This has been such a pleasure. I appreciate everything, and I wish you the bestest part of the next of your day. You know what I mean?
Aww. Thank you. Thank you. Did you make a heart with your? I'm the heart.
Yeah.
Aww.
Hearts.
Heart.
There's this a heart in your shirt.
There's a heart on my shirt.
I mean, my shirt is a living heart. Like, yes, with love is like a like with love.
Aww. I love it.
But thanks, guys, for everything. I appreciate it.
What?
I feel like I just took a full on semester of like Josh class. Like, not Josh class. Sorry, like a Josh full semester Chan? Of. I'm like discombobulated. I got his character mixed up, but I feel like I just took a full semester of like Vinny University. Like he
Vinny really, University, put it on a shirt.
There's so many shirts we can make out of this episode. Seriously, he was like he was talking, so I didn't want to interrupt, but I kept going like in my head. I was like, that's a banger line. Remember how he said the beginning that maybe we he'll sad. Say something that yeah. And then the first topic that we talked about was just like, I don't wake up happy. I cultivate this joy. I find things that make me happy. I was like, whatever, Vinny. I was like, whatever, dude.
Every
Maybe that's
episode,
what I need to hear. Whatever, dude. Yeah.
Like, we are in whatever. It's so funny that we get whatever we happen to be needing that day. Like, literally, we're just talking about waking up and not feeling the best. And then he's like, well, this is what you gotta do, folks. This is how it goes. And not everyone's gonna be happy. And that's not realistic. That's not human nature. So let's figure it out ourselves.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So many things to take away. I mean, the kindness, just like being a decent human was huge. I really appreciated his vulnerability talking about like when he said he left his blood, sweat, and tears in New York, and
that's
he owns
real
it
as
now.
Hell.
That shit hit me, you know, like
yeah.
And like when he was talking about finding authenticity with these characters, the fact that this dude pushes back on like he's very bold. Some of the things that he was telling is just like maybe I shouldn't have done this at the audition, but he did it anyway. Maybe he shouldn't rework the. You know, the pitch deck for the character, but he does it anyway and he gives it like a life. I mean, that's why I'm like even more excited that he has the success that he has, because like he's putting the work in and he seems like the right guy to be leading the pack for people like us.
Yes.
Those are my major takeaways. Cultivate your joy. Keep chugging along and don't look to your sides, you know, like do
oh,
it
that
for
one.
You.
Don't look to your sides. That was a good one.
That
oh
was
my
a
gosh.
Good one.
Guys, this episode lit me up. Okay, I'm gonna go fast. So be kind to freaking everybody, because everybody's literally all connected, and take care of yourself and find things that make you remember to love the things that you love. I don't know, just like do the things that you know are gonna make you feel happy, whether it be a dance class, whether it be going outside in the sun, whether it be sitting in the pool for a few minutes, like do the things that make you happy, just knowing that it's okay, that not every day is gonna be perfect. Dude, can we just like rewind the whole podcast? Because every single line was a takeaway. Every single time he said anything, I was like, that's a takeaway. That's a takeaway. That's a takeaway. I know this is going to be one of those episodes that I routinely listen back to, because there's so much. Like the whole thing was a pass the mic. We just gave him the platform and he used it. And it's amazing.
I was going to say, we didn't even need to pass the mic, because he was like, I know what to do. Stand back, children.
I got it here, guys. I got it. I got this. Oh, my
I
gosh.
Loved it. I think you're right. There's a lot of gems here. Like, you could even take the sections out after the questions, and they almost feel like their own little podcast. Like, he has a lot of wisdom. And I'm actually excited that he wants to come back. Like, you know, our little platform is what it is. But, like, that makes
growing
me excited.
Steadily.
So growing steadily. Thank you for everyone who's still listening. I appreciate you. Your friends and family. We have Vinny Rodriguez on the podcast, and he loved being on it so much that he's going to come back. I'm really excited to see what he's up to at Comic-Con. I'm really excited to see where his career goes, because like theater actors are some of the most talented people on this planet, and they like, getting opportunity in TV and film is huge. But getting to, I don't know, they're so well trained and wonderful, and have to switch, you know, switch like their whole mindset at the drop of a hat, you know, like covering for people and stuff like that. It's no wonder that he has the success that he has in this industry. You know, mm-hmm. he's got the right mentality for it. Wow. Whew. I know.
I need to go take a nap. I need to have a snack. I need to drink water, and I need to journal. Also, all of his books are like on my TBR or on my shelf right now. And I'm like, God, I have to read those now, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That was your sign. Art,
I saw you like digging for your book or something. Yes.
I had it. And I was like, don't pull it up, because he's mentioning other books I don't have. I was like, oh, I have one of those. Brownie points.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know what though, Lot? This whole episode has reminded me of something very important.
What's that, Ash?
That you are tremendous.
I had a feeling you were going to say that, because I think the same thing about you. I think you're also tremendous.
And you know what? This episode reminded me that, hell yeah, I am tremendous. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Hell yeah. We're all tremendous, everyone. Mm-hmm. Hell
walk
yeah.
Walk into rooms knowing that you're tremendous.
Yes. Wow. That's the energy. Wow. We are like night and day different from the intro.
Literally.
That's why we do it, baby. Y'all are tremendous up there.
Okay. I need to go like on a run. I have so much excitement in my body now. What are we going to do with it? Go get a bagel, Law. Get your Lox bagel.
I can't. It's too late for a bagel. But I will. Oh, no. I will. We almost went the whole podcast without talking about a bagel. But you know what? Bagels are tremendous. You guys are tremendous. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.
Good bagel. Bye.
The Tremendous Talk Podcast is produced by Lawrence Sharma, Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, Gabriela David, Joseph Peralde, and Jeremiah Abraham in collaboration with Tremendous. The Tremendous Talk Podcast jingle is by Jared Sanchez and Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, produced at Hamsterdam Records.